No, I'm going to share a few minutes about encouraging. There's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 that Paul prayed for the saints. And it's a pretty incredible prayer. And it's something that takes us out of the now and actually sees the heart and the inside of God. And we're going to go there. But how many realize that we're in a world system right now? We are in a system that, man, it is constantly pulling and prodding and influencing. I mean, it's all over the airwaves. I mean, you can't go to the grocery store without seeing the influence of the world. And what I mean that the world is always marketing something that's saying that it's going to make your life better. It's going to make you prosper. It's going to give you more influence. It's going to just benefit your life. And actually, when they market it, how many know you see certain things that when they market it, they kind of say you can't even live without this thing. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to live, you got to have this in your life. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? And the Bible, it's the world system, the cosmos. It's just how the world operates. And, you know, I was just thinking, it's so cruel. It could take the most beautiful woman and size her up to another woman, and even though this woman is beautiful, it could tear her down and make her feel like she has no worth, because this system is very competitive, right? Just the world system. And how many of you know, just how about this one? Let's say you didn't feel very handsome or pretty one day, right? Anybody ever not feel very attractive one day? You just kind of like, well, and it messed your day up. I mean, you couldn't, you had a hair day. And man, you was grumpy all day. How many, or even, you know, you had a test coming up and you didn't pass the test. And it just got you. And I was just thinking, this world is just, it's so brutal in how it does things. And I started working out at the gym about a week ago. And the soreness is almost all gone. And, you know, I had a pretty good workout. I felt pretty good. And I used to work out years ago. And now I'm trying to wake these muscles up is like sometimes pretty painful. And anyways, I felt pretty good about myself. And I was like, you know, some guys, if you know you lift, you get a little pump going on. And I went into the locker room. I was going to go swimming. And one of the trainers was in there. And he works there. And he had a shirt off. And he was shaving. And I, hey, how you doing? Greg's got talking, and I'm looking at him, and I look at me. And, you know, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And I looked at him. And anyways, we talked, and then I went in the locker room, got my swimsuit on, and, you know, you go swimming. I had to take off my shirt. Man, the guy walks around his lockers right next to me. So I'm like, then there was another mirror. So I got to see us without our shirts on. I'm like, oh, Lordy, I got my towel and put it over my shoulders. But that is the world. That's the world's influence. And guys, we get bombarded with that kind of stuff all the time. And it can sweep us away, and we can actually, it will take our eyes off of God. How many of you know that? And it's like the things of God just seem kind of small if you allow yourself to be sucked into it. Anyways, this prayer in Ephesians, you know, well, just one along those lines. How many of you know we're in this world, but we're not of it? We're just not of it. And we got to, like, remind ourselves. And, you know, this is just, it just helped me. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, it says in verse 18, it says, we do not look at the things which are seen. That helps. We don't look when we don't have finances, we're not facing, and we don't have the finances to pay for something, or we don't have the right look. We don't have the right car. We don't have the right occupation. How many of you know the scripture says, well, we don't look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are only temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you know what I've come to find? There's some things that really mattered. And how many realize that you got to be on your guard, or that stuff will, it'll suck you. It'll bite you. That mindset will bite you. And it'll affect how your value, how you think of yourself. And, you know, what really helped me, I heard someone say this. The main thing is keeping the main thing as the main thing. What is that? Seeking first the kingdom. what kingdom you're living in, what you're going to be a part of, what really matters. You know, years ago I went to Rhema, and the year I was there, Brother Hagen, who is the founder of the school, just some of you have heard of him. But when I was there, the year I was there, he started teaching prayer school. He says, man, I like this class. And so he started teaching prayer school. That was the first time he'd ever taught prayer school. So for an entire year, I got to pray with Brother Hagen. And it wasn't just me. It was 200 or 300 students. But when he taught us, one prayer he brought forth was Ephesians chapter 1. And here's what the prayer says. This is Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17 through 21, but I'm going to start with verse 15. It says, therefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, you know, I'm going to break down a couple. There's three things I'm going to pull out of this. It says a lot, you know. The first point, it says that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, we don't really talk that way. Let me show you what the Amplify that verse. Listen to what the Amplified version says. Verse 17, it says, for I always pray to God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight to the mysteries and the secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. Really, you want to know what that is? What that's saying, it's actually, he's praying that we would get a hold of this intimate relationship that we have with God. I don't look at my wife and I don't talk to my wife and just, babe, you know, I'm just praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We don't talk that way. But sometimes we just so much make prayer, you know, how many realize that prayer is just talking with God? And there's some things that will be birthed in our life as we pray. You know, one of the things that as we pray, so number one, guys, is the importance of intimacy. The importance of intimacy with God. Paul prayed for it. He says, pray that we would know the deep, and the Amplified version says that we would know the deep intimacy. And I think something, when we start talking intimacy, sometimes people get a little bit nervous. God, how many know God knows everything about you already? And all he's trying to do is position us to be like him. And you know, I was thinking about this. Whose image does the scripture say that we're made into? We're created. And you know, I was just thinking, the Bible says as we behold him, we're changed. We're changed as we behold him, even by his spirit. And you know, one thing, a factor about intimacy, guys, as we get intimate with God, Paul prays that we would know God. But as we gaze upon God, guys, now, whose image are we created after? God. As we see him, we begin to see who we really are. One thing about intimacy, you begin to understand who you are just as because you're looking at the one you were created after. Intimacy helps you to see who you are. Another thing that happens when you're learning about the intimacy of God and is that you begin to hear his calling. You begin to know what, you begin to understand and hear his voice. You know, I'm looking at this and let me look at my notes as we look at this, God isn't, right here, it says, God isn't as much into us working for him as he is being, as us being with him. And the illustration is Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, you know, how many know Martha got busy doing all kinds of things for the Lord. But Mary, where was Mary? She was at the feet of Jesus. And you know what? He didn't reprimand Martha, but he says Mary has chosen the better. Why? She was beholding the one she was created after. And Jesus says it won't be taken from her. what she's hearing will not be taken for her from her. You know, I just think of the people who had an encounter. Let me just look at my watch here. We look at people who actually had an intimate encounter with God, man. They were changed. I think of Moses. Moses was watching sheep on a hillside, but he saw a burning bush and he had an encounter with God. He received his call. You look at Gideon. Gideon had an encounter with God and he received his call. But it's time, guys. So you can actually see Paul prayed that we would come to this intimate knowledge of God. Intimate knowledge of God. To know God and be known by him. And by the way, when I was talking about this, Brother Hagin, actually, when he says for 3 weeks, God dealt with him. God dealt with him, and he prayed this prayer. He said for five, he was in his church. He spent 5 hours a day just praying this prayer for himself. And then he also said he began to pray this prayer for his brother who is lost for in the world in trouble. He says he prayed this prayer specifically 3 weeks. And his brother, who was unsaved for like, I don't know, I think it's 15, 18, 20 years, something like that. And after he finished 3 weeks, his brother got saved. But he was, what did he pray? That we would have intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. A lot of times, because you know what? Sometimes when we pray, guys, we're just praying, oh God, get me out of this situation. Oh God, help me through this situation. Help me deal with my kids. Help me pay my bills. Help me go through this trial. But you know what? An accurate prayer was, God, that we would be intimate. Paul prayed that we would be intimate with God. The second thing, let me read it. Let me go a little bit further. It says, if I can get Ephesians 1:17, it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. A revelation of him. Get this, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Now, the next thing he prayed for, guys, is that we would know his calling. You know, how many people are just disgruntled in life? You know, if we were to take a show of hands right now, if you absolutely, absolutely love your job and you just can't wait to get there and you're 30 minutes early every day and you're 30 minutes late leaving the place because you just absolutely love your job, there's not a lot of people, because a lot of times we haven't learned. And I don't want to say there's nobody, because some people are actually in their occupation. But I talk to a lot of people. It's like they're just looking for a way out. They just don't want. They're just like, God, what are you calling me to? God, what is this? God, I can't wait. What? Why do you have me here? How many ever thought that? God, why do you have me in this job? You know, well, Paul prayed this. He says that we would know the hope of our calling. You know what? Our calling is an incredible thing. You know, I love what the Message Bible says on this. The Message Bible, about knowing the hope of our calling, says it like this. It says that God would make us intelligent and discerning in knowing him personally. That our eyes would be focused and clear so that you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. That you can see exactly what he's calling you to do. That we, now get this. Here's what he also prayed. Listen, that we would grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life. That we would grasp the immensity. How many of you know every one of our calls are different, but they're immense? That we would grasp the immensity of this, of his glorious way of life he has for his followers. And get this, then he prays further. And that we would grasp the utter extravagance of his work in us. Have you ever thought of your calling being extravagant? Immense and extravagant. I'm telling you, when God calls you to do something, it's an adventure, baby. It's a trip. It is a trip. And you know, Dion and I got married 13 years ago, and man, it's been a trip. And I was just thinking about this. And I was, when God told Moses, he's getting ready to come out of the wilderness, and he gave him the Ten Commandments. But God, Moses encountered God. But the Lord said this is in Exodus chapter 34. And I didn't give him this as my scripture, but listen to this. This is what God is saying about your calling. It's immense, and what did we say? It's immense and it's extravagant. Your calling is. Listen, he says, and the Lord says, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as not have been seen or done on the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among you shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing I will do to you and in you. It's an awesome thing. You know what? God has a catered call. But listen, you know where you begin to hear your calling? I think sometimes when I see people who feel called to the ministry or see they want to get involved in ministry, I believe what happens is sometimes they get attracted to the call. Sometimes like you look at Pastor Jim and he's up here, he's just inspiring people and you'll see his position. And I think young men and young women, they see, oh man, I want to be of influence. I want to speak in people's lives and I want to be, and they almost can place a call on themselves. But you know what? The calling goes back to my first point. Your calling comes when you learn to hear him intimately. You hear him intimately, and then as you begin to know him intimately, then you begin to hear his calling. And what is it? It's an extravagant, immense calling. Amen. Now the other thing, I'll keep reading. This is Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. And now the next thing, he prayed that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling, and that we would know the riches and the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And get this, he says, that we would know, verse 19, that we would know what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. What I have found, that when God calls you, he actually puts you in something that's a whole lot bigger than you. How many of you found that out? And you know, I got some insight to this when I was looking at Gideon's life. And you know, some of you know the story of Gideon. But Gideon was called by the Lord. The Lord called him a mighty man of valor before he ever did anything. Have you ever thought about that? When God calls you, he's calling you a mighty man, mighty woman of valor. Right off the bat, you hadn't even done anything. But then God used Gideon to form this army. They started and God rounded up and they got 32,000 troops. And then the Lord told them, he says, you got too many. You got too many men. And he's like, what? I rallied these men. We're going to go kill the Midianites, you know? And the Lord says, you got too many. He says, I want you, any man who's fearful. So, you know, that eliminated 10 more thousand. Okay, they're down to 22,000. And he says, okay, is that better to God? And he says, no, you still got too many. It's like, what? And he says, you know, go get, drink. And they went to the pool and drank. And he says, the ones who put their face in the water, get rid of them. The ones who lap the water up, he says, keep those. There was only 300 left. It's like, what is that, Lord? I rallied. We had 32,000. We're down to 300. Because you know why? The inside of it, it says, the Lord, he says, you know what? Lest Israel thinks they delivered themselves. And I found out what God is doing when he calls us, guys, is that he's wanting to reduce us. You know why? Because if we can do it, then we will, a lot of times we'll give our own selves our own pat on our own back. But when God calls us, he calls us to something extravagant and immense. And it's going to be bigger than you. Guess what? But you know what? The scripture says, the last point is that we would know the power. Paul prayed this, that we would know the power of God's calling. That we would know his power. You know why? Because it's going to be bigger than you. God wants you to know his power. Because that's going to be the thing that carries out your life. I love what the Message Bible says right there about, he wants us to know, the Amplify says, to know that this power is in us and for us. This power, that the succeeding great power, it's in us and for us. But this is what the Message Bible says. It says, all this energy, you talk about the power of God, verse 20 and 23 on the Message, it says, all this energy issues, is it up there? Yeah, issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead, death, and set him on the throne in deep heaven. In charge of running the universe, everything from the galaxies to the governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body. God is in control. You know what? And God is placing us in places, and it'll be uncomfortable places at times, and tearful places. But you know what? My Bible tells me that he's in control. And my Bible tells me that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Don't be discouraged, guys. Just, you know what? Number one, we have to have that intimate place with God. I really believe out of that intimate relationship with God, we come to know the intimacy with God. Then his calling will be revealed. Some of us want to know what we're called to, but we haven't even entered into intimacy with God. He wants to talk with you. He has things to say. And then, in this calling, God wants to know how powerful. He wants us to know how powerful he is, because he is going to get the glory. Amen? So when you pray for people, you know what we're going to do here? Is I want them, I want the, if the video department can hold Ephesians 1:17 through 21. And I want us to, let's go ahead and stand up. Let's read it together. Therefore, I also, read it with me, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the part where the Amplified says deep, intimate knowledge of him. Let's go to verse 18. Read with me. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you, hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, what I would like us to do as we pray, I know we have things in our life that we're confronting. I want us to, right now, I want us to take a couple minutes. Can we have verse 17 through 19 up there? Verse 17 through 19 up there. You can, if you can get rid of 15 and 16. It'll take them a second. But what I want us to do, I want us to pray. We're going to start off praying for yourself. And I want you to, God, I want you to ask God, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge. I got to know you. I know some things about you, but Father, I haven't even touched the surface of who you are. I want to know your ways. You know, that was one of the things that Moses in Psalm 107 says, that Israel was familiar with the acts of the Lord. But it says Moses knew his ways. Now, sometimes we know God's provision, but do we know his ways? Do we know what's motivating, what the heartbeat of who God, do we know what delights him, what brings him pleasure? That's where we cross over into knowing God. So we pray, begin to pray that God, I got to get to this place of knowing you. I just, some of you are trying to do something for God and you haven't crossed over into intimacy with him yet. So begin to pray, God, give me that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you.